96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this Friday, the 16th of July, 2021. And that means you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And today is Friday, so that means, bim, it is Culture Friday. But before we get into the thick of it, let me start off with a brief message from the Ministry of Finance about the Prospect Ridge Development, a community for young Bahamian professionals. Did you know the government of the Bahamas will provide affordable lots with infrastructure installed for Bahamian young professionals? The new upscale community will be built on prime crown land, the first of which is the Prospect Ridge Community for Young Professionals. It will be available for young Bahamians who qualify to purchase, build, own, and maintain a home. The initiative is part of the government's land reform priority, fostering social and economic empowerment through land ownership while strengthening the country's middle classes, and will include 250 lots, both residential and duplex, and townhouse lots, utility infrastructure, approved home design, and an eco-friendly environment. Apply today at mygateway.gov.bs. Again, this message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. And I know young professionals are very excited to hear about that.
Yeah, man, that's very good for everybody. Because I mean, me personally, I have known how difficult it is to own land in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I have stories about how difficult it is. And something like that's very exciting.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Sherlyn Godette.
Mr. Godette is a returning guest from a couple of Culture Fridays ago, but he doesn't know that he is auditioning for a guest co-host spot.
Listen, I don't mind. I'll pay.
Look here, we pay in C-grade.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you better, because that's all we got.
I'll take it.
Well, listen, I guess a couple of little quick housekeeping. I need to ask a question. Who decided to scrape? That's like great. Who decided to start roadworks on Bay Street? With no notice between the Hilton and Nassau Street. And who decided to do it in the rain?
Wow. And now, I mean, we had the whole pandemic when nothing was going on to do it?
Yeah. Anyway, it's not up to me. I don't know anything about fixing roads, obviously.
Yeah, me neither.
Or they all would have been fixed. But I do know about notices and detour signs. And particularly with the road being wet, you want to avoid traffic on that road. So put up some detour sign. Also, just a quick political note. I would like to make this first and final announcement. It has been determined by the Chikchani Association that we are not voting for anybody in Fox Hill this lap. We're gonna let the new Governor General appoint an MP for Fox Hill. I don't even want to call this by name. All I want to know is that right now, sitting on somebody's office desk is a resignation letter that says, I don't want to work here no more, and you may not have noticed, but I didn't want to work here for a very long time. Hence my change in uniform. But I think the government policy, like the general orders, requires that if you are a civil servant or working in the government, You get to resign before you ratify that letter. I'm just saying. It's Culture Friday. I really don't have enough time to get in it. Hopefully, I get enough time on Monday. But Mr. Pinder, it's a very bad look. All of these employees that have had serious questions about labor, about their relationship with their employer, about vaccines, about vaccinations, about time off, about being furloughed, all of these questions, they were waiting for you to give them an answer. And it turns out that you may have been looking for a new uniform. Anyway, listen, on Monday. On to another issue very quickly. Environmentalists say ban oil drilling now that licenses expired. Please, dear government of the Bahamas, no oil drilling. Y'all can't even grade up the road properly on Bay Street. Why should we trust you to provide oversight for oil drilling in our waters? No, and no thank you. It's okay. Maybe this is time for us to handle what we could handle. You want to do some oil drilling? Why you don't take an inventory of all the coconut trees in your country and see whether you have enough to start an actual industry as opposed to encouraging through your silence and inaction grand theft, right? You want to drill for oil? Drill for coconut oil, sir. That's what we could be good at. We see we ain't even good at it yet, but we could be good at it. Start small. Okay, on to the next issue. Now, I promise you, this one is definitely culture-related. Like, all of them are culture-related, you know, but this one is definitely culture-related. In today's Tribune, there is a story about the celebrity artist Jamal Roll being honored tonight. He's being named as a cultural icon. And this is fantastic.
I love Jamal Roll. I love him.
Yeah, this boy, he's sharp.
Yeah, he is. He's a wonderful artist.
He's talented. He's professional. He's dressed nice. You know what I don't like about him?
What's that?
He don't take none of his clothes to the Salvation Army for me to borrow. That's it. That's all.
Just ask him. You know, he's nice enough. I think he'll give you literally give you the clothes off his back.
Boy. Look here, Jamal. Don't answer my call. I call him. Anyway, but congratulations to Jamal. This is a good thing.
No, I love Jamal. And right. I have a unique story. Jamal, hit me up, man. I love to take a little bit of credit for some of your success. Hit me up.
All right. But did you know that he's being honored tonight at the first Independence Cultural Icon Awards event?
Wow, I did not know about that, but now I know.
Yeah, but listen, I didn't even know that there were people being nominated.
Me neither. Like, is it a nomination thing?
I don't know. So Jamal, look here. This is important to note. And nobody is contesting whether your work and talent should be recognized as at iconic level. Ain't nobody questioning that. What I want to know is, why is the Urban Renewal Commission hosting the first Independence Cultural Icon Awards event at Salem Union Baptist Church Hall? And this is the first we're hearing about it.
Yeah, man. They probably need some marketing service. You know, I get them up right after this show.
Bub. Yeah, look here.
I'll hit them up.
And, okay.
Because something like this should be known, especially honoring creative people in the industry. Man, y'all hit me up, man. Let me get the word out there for you.
Please. And if you can't afford your boy, call me. I sell VAT soap. Soap to bay, day
man,
off
we could,
your
we could tag team, you know.
What?
This could be the soap marketing cultural award show.
Listen, this is the most important cultural award show in the country because some of y'all don't like bed. And some of y'all is bathed too much.
And everyone who's showing up, you got to bathe. And you have to bathe with our soap before you reach.
And you got to
you have to show proof
that you bathe properly.
So bring your vaccination card or your mask or your soap and you get free entry into the show tonight.
Absolutely. So listen, before I segue into my first section, I just want to say this is very important. I know some people thought I was running on like this whole week and the week before. When I focusing on things like the political vision or imagination and the religious imagination driving the national vision, right? But how could, after a full 2 weeks of protest from the cultural artists demanding inclusion in the national event, right? How could you get up and allow this government agency using government money to host this event and not advertise it? And it doesn't even feel as if you engage the Bahamian people about who they think the icons are.
Yeah, there's definitely work to do, because I am a big proponent of putting our Bahamian artists, creatives, and everything out there. And I love for them to have a platform. So, hey, y'all watch the show. I go watch the show, and I just find out about it today. But let's support.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it is at the Salem Union Baptist Church Hall on Taylor Street tonight at 6:30 p.m.
They doing a live stream or anything?
I hope so, but there are no details. So, if you are responsible for this event, do me a favor. Call, flood the radio stations today and social media with the details.
I agree.
Right? What do I need to do to go to the event? Will you have a big screen outside so I could sit in the parking lot and watch it in the safety of my car?
Right.
Or zoom in my home?
Aaron, I think they already owe us a little check. You know, we are doing a lot of marketing for them already.
Yeah, yeah. They do owe us a big, big
a little check.
So. They lucky it's our things.
It's our things.
Like, they carry on. Like
support, support. And we can hit you all up for our check later on.
Absolutely. Young professionals demanding it. So, Sherilyn, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read these texts. We're going to go to a break. And then we're going to bring in our guest, first guest, Ms. Requel Smith, a Bahamian in Prince Edward Island.
Wow.
Doing big things.
That's far.
So let's go. First text. About these lots for professionals, banks are saying to clients that they don't do pre-approval letters. Even government-owned institutions like the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation and BOB don't do them. Is this just a big election ploy that goes nowhere? Well, let's pause right here, because the young professionals are relying on it not being about politics. That's a great point that you make, Texter, and I hope Tree of Finance have heard the point, the nuance that you've raised, and that they're going to focus on it and find a resolution if a problem does indeed exist. Because like my boy Godette say, we pushing forward, we supporting big things.
Yeah, man. Right? I wish something like this was around years ago before I get caught up in my property situation, because, man, I'd have been all over this.
Absolutely. It'd be like me fighting raccoon for land.
Right?
Miss Green ain't long now. F&M, two straight F&M. Boy, look here. Y'all don't go in Fox Hill talking that talk. Good morning, Madam Green. The points. Manhole ditch was paved from yesterday. That will hold you. I think it won't hold me because, first of all, that's their job. Second of all, it took far too long for them to fix it. Third of all, they fixed it. And then today or last night, they went and they graded the road. They tore it up. They tore it up. And so if they patch that, like I think they patch that in slippers, don't watch nothing. The hole coming back shortly. Kermit, let's go to a break. When we get back, in fact, let me ask, is my guest on the line? There you go. Ms. Smith, we will be right back after this break. To my audience, stay tuned as Sherilyn Gaudette and myself engage Ms. Requel Smith in Prince Edward Island.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
It's happening, and it's all straight talk with no chaser. As Levin Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021, for your family life.
you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock, the two, four, two, the new. So tell Tita, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
As I was walking down the street one day, I met a pretty lady, she was going my way. I said, lady, would you walk along with me? I'll show you sights of interest, this is my country. Like the water tower and the Queen's staircase. And maybe later we could go to my place. She was looking pretty and smiling with me, and I think my line is beguiling.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, and shaking your knee all day. It is this time in the show where we are going to turn to our guest, Ms. Requel Smith, who is the artistic director and founder of Oshun Dance Studios. She focuses on bringing women of all ethnicities together to feel empowered and venerated through the art of dance. She's trained in ballet, jazz, modern, contemporary, African, aerial ballet, and fire dancing. A School of Performing Arts alumni from Holland College, Requel has an emerging independent artist, choreographer, and arts educator in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. Her work has been featured in festivals and events such as Diversity Festival, Roma Festival, the River Clyde Pageant, and Stratford Fall Festival, and by the Black Cultural Society of PEI. And I just want to say this briefly before we get into the conversation. Ms. Smith's work speaks for itself. Her resume and her body of work is very impressive. However, Ms. Smith have the biggest cheerleader in the world. I want to say good morning to her mother, who is the Bahamian who connected me to her and wanted to make sure that there was a space to showcase what, not just what her daughter was doing, but what Bahamians in the diaspora are doing. And so I wanted to bring Ms. Smith into the conversation during the time of independence, because I was like, hey, did the government see another, you know, are they aware of this other lost opportunity that they could have engaged artists in the diaspora to build a celebration event?
That would have been awesome, Erin.
As well as filmmakers to pull in the voices of people in the family islands and in the diaspora?
That would have been awesome.
Good morning, Ms. Smith.
Good morning, Erin.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, like I was saying, it was important to reach out to Bahamians in the diaspora. And I got a couple of quick questions for you. And let's start with the independence celebration. How do you feel about it?
Well, I heard the news that they were having a gospel choir, and that, you know, independence wasn't being celebrated how we usually celebrate independence. But in regards, I think that it could have been much better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for years, local artists have been always pushing themselves only just to get their work out through music, dance, visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I feel like the government really hasn't supported us 110% like they could mm-hmm. and like they should. So, I felt where the artists and the musicians were coming from when they spoke about, you know, that they weren't reached out to perform. I felt their pain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I say, after looking at your resume and some of your work, I felt bad. I like, look here. It felt like a matter of laziness. Like we just didn't take the time to find the talented Bahamians out there, because they know that y'all are out there.
And there are many. Hi, Requel. This the guest host today, Sherlyn Gadet. I'm just learning about you, and I'm already impressed.
Oh, Hello, Sherilyn. Thank you.
Yes. And then you live in PEI. I went to school in Canada, and I had a next-door neighbor who lived in PEI, Charlottetown as well. My dad was a potato farmer. And so when she said you were from PEI, like, what you doing all the way out there?
Yes, most times people be like, how did you find this place?
Really?
But honestly, it's just like home. It's a small island.
Right.
You get to know basically everybody, and everybody knows everybody.
Right.
So honestly, I feel like I'm just a home away from home.
Wow. Absolutely. And they're big on farming, right?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
So listen, the things that you have in PEI that enable you to do your work, right? Do you think we could build those things here and you could do this work in the Bahamas as well?
I strongly feel that it is possible. Last year was when I came up with my business, when I decided that I wanted to register my own business online.
Okay.
Of course, that's Ocean Dance Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually during the pandemic.
I'm looking you up on Facebook right now.
Yes, and at that point, yeah, you could type in Ocean Dance Studios.
I already found it.
Okay, awesome. At that point, I was like, because in Canada, everything is a lot of theater based.
Okay.
And because I am solely just like a dancer, which I went to a performing arts school, but I wanted to really just push the dance aspect of it. So based on that, I built a lot of connections in 2019, working with River Clyde Pageant, the Diversity Festival, and becoming a part of the Black Culture Society. So I was able to get my colleagues involved in my show, reach out to them, and they were able to help me push my work. They were able to help me to gain sponsors, to be able to actually get my show up and running. And I think that's the main thing that actually happens here in Canada. The government, in terms of the arts sector,
mm-hmm.
they really, really put a lot of funding into the arts.
Wow.
And this year, especially because of last year with the pandemic, and a lot of artists, they didn't get to work. They didn't really get to do much.
Right.
This year, the government funded them a substantial amount of money where we could have applied for art grants.
Right.
In visual arts, film, dance, anything, just once it was pertaining to the arts, so that we can be able to showcase our work and actually be able to create projects.
That is amazing.
It really is. And I think in the Bahamas, this is something that they could really look into, because once again, tourism is our, they love to say, big sector. And in my eyes, you know, in tourism, you need entertainment.
That's true.
Entertainment in so many different aspects.
That's true.
And I know so many artists that probably want to create their own shows, that probably want to create their own projects, but it's always the funding that probably, you know, limits them from even getting their work up and running. So
mm-hmm.
I think if this is something that the government, you know, looks into, and, you know, private funders as well to support the art community, I think it could be something totally incredible.
And that's amazing. And I don't know if people really know, because again, you and PEI, and they have a black cultural society. In PEI, and PEI is maybe like 99% white, right?
Well, I would say back then.
Oh, yes. Now, yeah, a lot of people are moving now, there, right?
Yes, but now it's becoming very more diverse.
Right.
And, it's good to just be walking now and seeing so many
others.
You know, yeah, now, so many different cultures now.
One second. I hear you got some other Bahamians up there with you. In fact, I hear that y'all were performing in 2019 as a group called Bahamian Melody.
Yes. So actually, Bahamian Melody was one of my first groups that I actually made. Once again, I feel like I came over here with the intentions of me wanting to explore, create, and make a name for myself. So I created Bahamian Melody, and it was two of my good friends, Dawn Ward and Joe Dean. They're from Freeport.
Okay.
And I met them over here dancing, and I don't know, something just clicked for me. I was like, back at home, we did a lot of performances in hotels, a lot of cultural events.
Nice.
So I wanted to bring, you know, the Bahamian culture to PEI, how we celebrate, how we move, how our, you know, our music, and to enjoy that how we do. So I created Bohemian Melody, and I was able to perform at the Roma Feast. Mm-hmm. And that was an awesome experience. Everybody loved it. It was a very short piece that I did. It was 11 minutes, but mm-hmm. it was a melody of different music that I combined together and created a show. And that was the beginning of Bohemian Melody.
I'm sure people were amazed to see, because that's so different and unique for people to see up there. I'm sure they're like, wow.
Yeah, and everything was colorful. You know, we always love colors.
Right.
So it was very bright and vibrant.
I'm looking at the page right now, and all I'm seeing is colors.
So listen, just before you go, I know that you have an event coming up in the next couple of weeks at the River Clyde pageant. And what I wanted to ask was, will you be performing, will you be presenting, will you be teaching or lecturing, or will you be doing all four?
that's funny. I think in a way I'll be doing probably all four. So the River Clyde pageant, once again, my good colleague, Megan Stewart, she's actually one of my partners that helped me basically create my showcase, Calypso Secrets. And ever since then, me and her just been the best of friends. So I started off year before last as a dancer in River Clyde. And the kind of person that I am, I love to network. I love to meet new people. So I spoke to her, and she was like, you know, she would love to speak to me more about potential projects. I think it was so like welcoming that she just accepted me in and was just so eager to, you know, hear more about my work. And since then, this year, she actually, and now I am a choreographer in the River Clyde pageant.
That's awesome.
We did our last workshop on Wednesday, and the show starts next week on the 23rd.
Okay.
And it'll be for 2 weeks. So it's like 3 days every weekend.
Can we zoom in? Can we connect to this event via the internet?
They will be recording it, but I don't think it will be recorded live.
Okay.
But they will be recording it, that I probably will have, I'll be able to post on my page for other viewers to see.
Awesome. Right. I already liked your page, so please share it there, and I'll do anything that I can to share this.
Absolutely.
And I truly appreciate it.
Of course. And you all the way up in the cold representing the Bahamas, the least we could do is share your page.
That's the very least we can do. Support, man. And Raquel, before we let you go, I think this is important, because I think this would have to do. I don't even know your story, but I'm very sure. I'm here representing the orange economy in the Bahamas. How and why did you get up in PEI and you decided to live over there? I know there's a unique story there.
That's a good question.
Okay.
Well, like I said before, I've been performing from I was like 16 in hotels, back at home, and private events, drugs and rush outs. That was what I lived for.
Right.
That was my passion. And along my journey, you know, working in hotels, I felt strongly about that the hotels needed to appreciate their artists a lot more when it comes to us coming down there to rehearse.
Right.
Giving it our all. It was also about payment. That was one of the main things. And I think the artists need to be more appreciated for their work and value. And I think that in the hotels, they need to really look into that a lot more.
And that's
so because I...
But that's something I wanted to get into. So you originally were a hotel performer. You decided to migrate over there, or did you go to school over there and decided to stay?
Yes. So I decided to go to school because I wanted to keep on enhancing my craft. I feel like you never could learn enough.
Right.
And I was doing my training over back at home as well, but I wanted to continue to pursue my training because when you have different teachers, you learn different things. So because of that, I wanted to... Elevate my craft. So
right.
And I enrolled at Holland College in the performing arts program.
Awesome.
Under the dance performance. And ever since then, it was a 2-year program, and I really had an amazing experience, a lot of growth, and met new people.
Right.
And after that, I just decided that the fact that I know my family and friends, they supported me from day one. My family mm-hmm. put so much effort into just, you know, pushing me through school to finish.
Right.
And helping me financially. Why not take the opportunity to stay and see what I can be able to reap from my benefits?
And that's important because, I mean, sadly, you felt as though that you would have more opportunities to grow and make a living in PEI rather than coming back home, right? if I'm reading that correctly.
In a sense, yes. I felt that I needed to elevate myself. And sometimes you get get content in, you know, being at home and in a bubble,
right,
performing for hotels underneath people. And I knew at one point in time I wanted to be able to work for myself.
Right.
And I want to be able to explore different arts and just expand a lot more. My goal is for Ocean Dance Studios, you know, to be on bigger stages performing for a larger audience.
Awesome.
And sometimes you can't do that at home. So yeah. In my eyes, it was only, you know, the right thing just to move to, you know, really expand my horizons.
Now, look here. This is awesome, right? Because old head activists like me would say, girl, you gotta come home and build the space you want to be in, right? But another perspective is, look here, go out into the world, build yourself up in that domain till you don't just come home, till the big shots here beg you to come home,
right,
and create and to bring that space you have created here and draw all of the people with you.
Yeah.
And so I say, you gotta do what you gotta do for your spirit,
Aaron. That's what I commented on last week or week before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same sort of way. And I mean, you made a great decision. And so, like I said, anything I could do, and something I do, I'm a filmmaker as well. And if we can connect, and I can help share your story as a Bahamian living in the back of the sticks, or probably behind a potato farm, like, that's a unique story that I would love to share. So I'm probably going to be hitting you up and get a story on you.
Right. And so, look here, Doe.
Thank you so much.
I got no a call problem. On the line, and the call may be for you. So let's go to the call. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
The great artists always prepare, okay, mm-hmm. themselves. Prepare the sound, prepare the writings, prepare the visual art. Like a great journalist.
Yes.
Always attempt to get both sides of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, what I want to encourage everyone, including JR, is the Bahamian people have the ability to chart their own direction as relates to tourism. Tourism is dead, like the young lady said, because they have not really invested in the real art and culture, tourism.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever the Bahamian is good at, you create tourism around that.
Right, and around the lived experiences of the people.
Yes, ma'am. And when you have a lot of gifted people and your government sees the gift, it's like a child. If you see a child is gifted, you're going to let the gift die in the child?
No, you got to culture it.
You got to invest.
Yeah.
That's the point. You have to invest into your what you believe. So, okay, an artist sees the future. That's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
When you can put your present or past in writing or in sound, you know, it's awesome. And sort of to the young lady, it's a pleasure for Amos Jr. Miller, a 51-year-old young Bahamian sovereign citizen who have taken to the airwaves to articulate what art is all about. Art is everything.
Thank
that you.
You
express.
Yeah, thank you.
Accept, because what you accept mostly is what you will express.
Thank you so much. And thank you for that word. And I hope all the young artists hear that. And they hear older Bahamians supporting their journey. Miss Smith, I will have you back on soon. And we're talking because we got to talk about, when I have you back, we have to talk about the Diverse Women of Canada Stories of Resilience event that you participated in, and your time on the association, the National Dance Association Executive Board, and how we can bring you back to the Bahamas.
Okay, that sounds good. And I would also like to mention that, you know, even in my journey, pushing Ocean Dance Studios, especially performing, I was able to be a part of the Social Distancing Festival that actually is based in Toronto.
Nice.
So the fact that I actually went out and took a risk, and I went online, I did my research, and looking for events that I could be able to do, you know, solo work as well as an artist, and not just, you know, everything based as a group under Oceans.
Right.
And I went online and I applied, and what they were actually looking at in that festival, and I actually was one.
Congratulations.
Out of 400, and there were only 26 artists that they picked.
Wow.
It was a collaboration between artists in Canada and in the United States. So I was actually grouped with a lady, Kashimana, and she is living in Minneapolis.
Right.
Okay. So honestly, did everything virtually with our project. Mm-hmm. So that was an awesome experience. It came under Nick Green, and he was an amazing director through it all.
Okay.
Look at you representing us, man. I love that.
Awesome. Listen, so when we speak again, you're going to tell us how to find Calypso Secrets so we could watch it. But I got to go because...
It's right on YouTube, actually.
Okay.
It's right on YouTube.
Cool.
Just type in Calypso Secrets, and I will pop up.
Okay.
Awesome.
I gotta grill Mr. Gaudette about some... He is a documentarian and a filmmaker, and I want him to tell us about, right now, about these films that he's made, including his work that got him a 2018 Gold Telly Award.
Why, thank you. Right.
Yes.
So in terms of the documentary and films, that's something I'm just getting into. I'm still a student of the game. I'm basically an apprentice to one of the greats. It's Lovato Stubbs. Mm-hmm. And so he's Kong Boy of Kong Boy Films. And so what we have done is I used to work in the corporate world in marketing. And I made it a point that, and even though these international franchises use every piece of talent, Bahamian talent that I can, and to involve in my work. And that's how I came across Mr. Lovato Stubbs and a lot of the commercials that I wrote and produced. I use Bahamian artists. I use Bahamian music. And that's why I'm so intrigued by you. You know, there's obviously some opportunity to use Bahamian dance. You know, so
yes.
Of course I'm going to be reaching out to you.
So, Gaudette, is there a database of Bahamian artists and talent that you could tap into anytime you want to make a project?
Not officially, but that's a good idea. But there are some groups. The BSSA, that's a Facebook group online, and that's when we have projects.
Yeah.
We tend to go to that first. We tend to find young actors, aspiring actors, singers. You know, whoever we can use, and we say, hey, come be involved in our project. And so that's something I'll probably hit you up and share the link to that. You could be involved in that as well. We could call out on you. And so...
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And so, you know, in 2018, at the time I was working for Domino's, and, you know, Miss Green, she got angry at me because I didn't mention that...
Man, listen, this guy is responsible for the famous Domino's commercial, the wedding commercial.
The cheesy wedding.
With the pizza's wedding suit.
Yep.
And what he don't know is I would have get married if a man would have married me in a pizza suit.
Oh, you're making me laugh. And so I really love that commercial because that is almost like everything that I do. Because in that is, you know, I can call some names, you know, Kedar.
Yeah.
Kedar been making his suits, bespoke suits, for a little while before, like maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And I was like, wow, this is unique. I say, how can I involve him into my work? Then I called Soyu Boy. And I said, Soyu Boy, I'm going to dress you up in a suit made by Kedar.
Listen, Soyu, that's what happened. That's what the problem is now.
Right? And then there's a young artist, Johnny K, great rapper. I think he did some work with The Guardian as well. Great rapper. And he is also a great actor. I say, Johnny, you can be the star of this next commercial. And it's going to be a cheesy wedding. He say, what about this? I say, don't worry about that. Just show up. And then this is one of my third time working with Lovato Stubbs to produce the commercial.
Okay.
And I said, Lovato, I want to do it big this time. I want to do it big. He come in with a crazy idea. He say, hey, you know how we do. And so when we made it, like... Everything fell together, and we used everything Bahamian, even the whole production crew. We employ people who went to school in Florida, the Full Sail. You know, they paid a ton for their education, and they are sometimes, sadly, almost begging for work, you know? And so I feel that it's my responsibility to go out and find these people, give them work, give them a platform, so that they can enjoy their work. And hey, we got nominated for Bahamian Icon Award and we got a gold in the International Telly Awards. That's big in commercials.
And look here, I know somebody them right now. Those guys, I was telling you all yesterday about those people who had a commercial for their tracking device.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very off color. In fact, it was problematic and borderline illegal, right?
Yeah.
And I was just thinking of a commercial. I tell my boy, look here, I keep losing my wallet. I need a tracker. And he say, for your wallet? I say, no, for my Grammy, because I sure she's the one taking it, right? And there are tons of people out here that are quick and sharp, from Solo Maid to The Spot to Anku and Sakani.
Yes.
And Shadfa and Vividly.
Oh, Ron, man. See that?
There's just talent everywhere.
And you know, we commonly go into the theater domain looking for persons we can put in commercials because, you know, you have to have some skills. Even though we still groom you and help you to get to where you need to be, there's tons of talent.
Yeah.
A Bahamian talent that still needs to be put on display. And that's part of the orange economy. I've almost become the face of the orange economy because people say, hey, I know you know what I do, and I know you can find a way to put what I do out there.
Right, right. And this is, Requel, this is what people need, right? So it's a couple of things going on. When people are focused on doing the work and growing their talents, they don't have the energy to focus on marketing themselves, right? On researching the next project.
Right.
And so it's great to have a structure that artists could rely on.
Yeah, I like that you say that because artists are consumed with their art and they may not be as refined to get their work out there or to make the connections.
Right.
Or to even like make their work relate to a connection. Like I said, my work primarily is being a writer. Mm-hmm. And so I write these people into these things and I connect things that people would normally say, how you get a suit from Kedah into a pizza commercial.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know what I mean? This is what I do.
Right. And I'm thinking now a dancer in a commercial, right, who is really not the typical performance you expect on stage, but she dancing, right? Like she have the mango and they trying to take the mango from her.
Mango.
And her superb dance skills.
Uh-huh.
She keep protecting this mango from them, right? Like a ninja liturgical dance.
Man, we on to something. Yeah, we got to copyright that one, Aaron.
Right, but
yeah, that's
so, I done. Watch me practice. But right, the orange economy is multi-layered and it's not just the creation of the art, but it also requires multiple layers
right.
to be able to maximize that potential.
Right.
So tell me right now, what do you need, Mr. Gaudet? What do you need, Ms. Smith, in your space right now to help you take your art to the world, right?
Yeah.
And get it into global markets.
Yeah. But let me keep it short. Hey, I just need, I need my clients or anybody to say, hey, we ain't trying to kill you with the price, but we need to be paid for our work and paid for, mm-hmm. for our expertise because it's the only way we can create and keep creating, right? And so that's why, I love to bring persons who are diving deep into their work. Because you, Mrs. Smith, you spend money on your education, right? You can't be doing this for free, right?
No.
So we just need the opportunity. We just need the opportunity. That's pretty much it.
And the opportunity is to be compensated fairly and
right.
at a global standard for global work
for global work. Because also in the Orange Economy, I'm part of a business, Franchise Media Graphics, and so we do graphics, but we do it at a franchise level because that's my background, franchise, and they're very stringent on the standards that they have, and it's a certain language, and that's what we're able to bring to the Bahamas. And so when we give our price, we expect to be paid. This is a franchise level.
Yeah.
You know, Ms. Smith, I'm sure you have some way to relate that, you know, how you are able to be compensated for the creative work that you do, right?
Yeah, too, with Canada, when it comes to artists, they actually have, like, laws, you
right.
know, in terms of how much artists should be paid,
right.
the minimum they should be paid when it comes on the film. When it comes to the visual art, when it comes to the dance, and I think that's something that a lot of artists here they take very seriously, and they go about that.
That's awesome.
And you basically have an outline to say, especially if you're not sure as a new artist,
right?
You can be able to come on there to say, you know, how much should I charge for rehearsal? How much should I charge for my work if I'm choreographing for this particular artist?
And I'm sure there's a sign saying. So I'm sure there's a sign saying, don't let them pay you in C-grade. Don't let them pay you in exposure, right?
I agree. Oh, exposure. A lot of people want to pay you to say, oh, you do this for free because I can give you a lot more stuff. And then a lot more stuff is almost free too. So how am I going to go? How are we going to grow?
Yeah, BPL.
I think the mindset here is so, so different.
Wow.
I think when artists decide to reach out to other artists, like, they already know, you know, this is the world that we live in, and we all need to be compensated and valued for our work.
All right.
So, like I say, they go about applying for art grants that they can be able to pay themselves and pay other artists who they want to be involved in their projects. So it's never the experience that I've had so far. Uh-huh. It's never where I went out saying, you know, this is my price, or are you going to pay me? You know, I've never had that.
That's amazing.
Up. I went into it very positive, and I've always been able to receive that positive energy back to me, and I've been compensated for my work, and I never had to feel, you know, devalued for it or have to go out there asking for it. They already know.
You're very fortunate. You're very fortunate with that.
I'm very blessed. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, always with artists, hey, just tell me your price, right? Yeah. And as either It could work for this project, or I got to do it for the next project. But I'm never going to tell you to go down on your price, or to say give me a break. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to put money into my pocket. I'm trying to help you develop into what you need to be.
Right. And before I tell you to go down on your price, I'm going to tell you, look here, these are the spaces where you could improve or do some more work to make sure that people don't balk when you say that number.
No, your price is your price, and as either it works for this project or the next project.
Yeah, well, I can give you some help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just tell you I ain't paying you.
Yeah.
I can say this is what you need to do to hit the standard.
Yeah.
But watch this. So I can put on my government hat now, right?
All right.
And y'all want me to support your work, and you want me to support you getting your work to the world, right? But I'm busy. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I can say, why market to the globe when our job, as the government, we intend on bringing 10 million people here a year? Why not just focus on marketing to the people we bring in here?
Well, that's the point. You market, but you could market, especially Miss Raquel, who's an international dancer. See how I'm bigging you up? You're an international dancer, and Ministry of Tourism could put you inside a commercial easily to stay, for the Bahamas. Like, that's a slam dunk.
It should be easy, but are artists willing to say, okay, the infrastructure that you are providing, government, is focused on an internal market. I will focus on that market.
No, I think, as I said last week, I think the government is doing a good job at marketing externally where it should be.
Okay.
Because we plan on bringing the people here. So, so like I said, I've traveled the world as well, and I've seen in New York, in Toronto.
Ain't nothing like when I was living in London, buddy, and it was dark, and I hit come out of my building, and I look up, and it's a Bahamas ad on a bus.
Okay.
My day brightened right
up. You see
up,
what I'm
buddy.
Saying? So the government is doing a good job, but there's just a little piece of room where they could help. Hey, let's bring our local artists into this.
And legislation.
Right.
To set regulations in a market, right?
Right.
Standards. To protect artists.
Because I am very much interested, Raquella, in knowing some of these things that are put in place in this foreign country that you are able to benefit from to put your local Bahamian talents on display. And you're saying that you're blessed. I'm a little bit jealous.
except for the cold. You ain't got it better than us.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Yeah, we got to wave that over you. We still dress in our shorts over here.
That's true. And many days I wish I had that. You know, I could just go outside and you know, have some shorts
good.
On.
Good. So we still have that over you. But for that sort of thing, like, I'm a bit jealous because it is rough over here. I'm still blessed. But an artist or somebody who specializes in their field, we still have a hard time finding the work that is equal to the talent and expertise that we have put into our craft.
We got the talent. And so I want to, as we close out the show, I want to ask you guys one or two words of advice for young artisans and creatives who are aspiring dancers or dance teachers and aspiring filmmakers and marketers and commercial makers.
You go first, Ms. Smith.
Okay. Well, honestly, all I could just say is just keep believing in yourself. Never stop. Like, okay. That's the best advice I could give anybody. Yeah. Keep believing in yourself, and really, really, it is very important.
Awesome.
Communicate with people, talk to people, and, you know, try to build relationships in your same field, because those relationships can grow and can become something, you know, that you've never expected. So really keep believing in yourself and build relationships, and those connections can carry you very far.
Awesome, awesome.
Absolutely.
For me, I would say keep learning, and it's almost the same thing as keep believing in yourself, but keep diving deeper into your craft, right? Mm-hmm. Because even for me with the filmmaking and the documentary making, I'm still a student, and I align myself with people who are smarter than me, people who are more technical than me, and so that I can learn and I can also benefit from some of the creative works that we do together. Because I like to tell a lot of my clients, I may be the face, but I have a strong team behind me. And so I learn from the team. Me, sometimes, who's supposed to be the director, producer, I'm the PA. I go out and I run for donuts for the crew. Mm-hmm. I go out and I lift the equipment. And so if you keep learning and you keep being humble, you could do something. Okay. You could do something in your field, and you could reap the benefits.
Awesome. I want to thank you so much, guys, for joining this conversation today. Mr. Gaudette, but first of all, Ms. Smith, all the way in PEI, I sell Chichanis and I sell
you.
Sunshine too. And I'm going to send you a package in FedEx once you send me my money first. Mr. Gaudette, I want to thank you for joining the conversation today. I want to bring you back as my co-host for these arts and culture.
Anytime, man.
Because you remind me that I got to advocate for the individual and the whole.
Thank you.
I just want you to give me culture.
Thank
but
you.
But I
got to
remember that I got to advocate for you to be able to take care of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. I got just one last text here. It says, hi, tell water and sewage, there is a serious busted pipe on East Street South. That's why all of Bay Street flooded? I thought it was high tide. Anyway, thank you for tuning into the show. Thank you, Texter, for that helpful information. It is Culture Friday. It is still Independence Weekend. We're still in July. That means you have a national and moral duty to love yourself, to love your country, to love each other, and to shake a leg, whether it's gospel music or not. Love yourself, Bahamas. Stay tuned. Levan Miller is up next.